Hell yeah, Corn Fed Podcast, baby. Let's fucking go.
Let's fucking go.
Let's fucking go.
Let's fucking go.
Whoop whoop.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Corn Fed Podcast, the nu metal podcast for and by girls. I am one of your co-hosts, Kyan Rainwater, and I am here with my illustrious co-host.
Yay! Jasmine Mancia. Oh my god, I said Jasmine. That's weird. It just came out.
we're really progressing. We're on full names now.
We're like official. It's because you called me illustrious. It felt like... Yes.
You have to give yourself the full proper introduction.
Right. Anyway, it's Jazz. Don't ever call me Jasmine.
But we are here to talk about the quintessential, I would say, girl nu metal album, Spit by Kitty, which is just unbelievable.
What a record.
I mean, this thing starts out at 11 and never fucking slows down at all. And it's so sick. I know I tweeted it, but like on Brackish is like one of the most insane runs in like music history of just banger after banger. Like, oh my god, and there's so many good fucking lyrics on this album too. Just like fucking like, why do I get shit from you men all the time? Like, oh my god,
I love it.
It's, and like also, you know, I saw somebody talking about the other day about like, oh, like, you know, like different artists and stuff, you know, like they don't get big until blank year, like however old or something. And this was like 16 and 17 year olds. And that's like one of the things where people are always like, oh, like never worry that you're not doing anything when you're young, because like, you know, some people would take so long. And I'm like, yeah, but then there's people like this who make like one of the greatest albums of all time when they're like fucking like teenagers.
It's, yeah, I don't know. It was interesting listening to the lyrics of this album, kind of knowing that they were 16 and also being an adult. I feel like, yeah.
Okay. Oh, go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
I don't even know where I was going, so you go.
I was just gonna say, like, for how young they are in the lyrics and stuff, like a lot of them are very, very mature and also like deal with things that it's like, damn, like you think about, like, you know, like it's like I had to go through this as a kid, but it still makes me sad that other people had to go through this as a kid too. You know what I mean? And like we're writing lyrics like this, like, you know, like at that young of an age and dealing with all this, like, do you think I'm a whore and stuff like that? Like coming out of like a 16 year old is like really like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like it's really fucked that they have to, you know, that like, I guess we have to deal with that. Cause like I've been through this. That's, and I think that's one of the reasons that like this album like resonates very deeply. Cause I listened to this album like when I was in high school and everything. And it always like, you know, hit a little bit. Because I definitely had that kind of, you know, like people treated me kind of that way and stuff like that. And especially like, you know, I came out my senior year of high school and definitely got treated in like much more of a similar way to the way that they talk about, you know, talk about the attitude towards women on this album and everything.
Right.
But it's so fucking good. And just like the level of like anger that like you get to like, you feel so vindicated when you listen to it because you're like, yeah, like fuck these people. Like
I'm
like, I don't have to take this shit. Right.
I'm normally not like, I don't listen to heavier vocals like that. Mm-hmm. Although I know for a lot of people those are not heavy vocals, but to like me, I don't, you know, because I don't. Yeah. They are pretty heavy. I sent one song to this guy that I hang out with, and he's like a metal head or whatever. He loves his European metal and judges people for listening to anything else. But he liked it and he was like, oh, this is so 90s. I wish that, like, I think I would like it a lot more if I had listened to it when it came out. But then he sent me a video. I don't know if you've heard of this artist. Oh, what was her name? Ginger?
I don't think so.
Well, her vocals are incredible. I'm going to send you a song that he sent me called Pisces that was insane. And I was like, he really took a chance with that one, because that could have gone, I really might have hated that, but it was awesome. I think because I could see her and she's so like tiny and beautiful. And then she just sounds like pure rage when she opens her mouth.
I love that so much. Oh my God. And like, I was watching a bunch of live videos of Kitty playing, and like, it's like so fun watching these, like, you know, like these like girls and stuff, just like fucking just going like ballistic and putting on like these like insanely aggressive, like cool shows. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is so fucking fun to watch. Like watching their bassist and stuff, like windmill her hair and everything. I was like, this fucking rocks. This is definitely super, super cool.
They are really cool. And I feel like violently uncool when I look at them.
I know. There's like a fucking like promo photo of all of them standing in like a fucking like semi trailer, and I'm just like, this is so sick. Like, I wish I looked like this.
Same. I was surprised because you know I didn't listen to them growing up, so I went on their, obviously the first time I saw them was on their Spotify. Actually, that's not true, because someone posted a photo set of them a couple weeks ago, and that was the first time I saw them, and they look cool as shit. But this was the first time I saw them with like a critical eye, I guess, and it was surprisingly diverse. They didn't look the way that I expected them to, I guess, all of them. There was a dude where I was like, where did that guy come from?
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, I sent you that meme, and I truly look like that every single time that I hear Brackish. That song is, that is the greatest song I've ever heard in my life.
That song is, the chorus of that song is unbelievable. Like, just the fucking, like, rapping with, like, the, like, incredible, like, singing vocals over it. Like, it's so fucking cool, and the guitar riff is unreal.
I love the, just from the beginning, from Go, that song is crazy. Like, I remember, okay, so I was listening to it on my drive home, and the whole record, I was like, wow, this whips, this is so cool. And with every new song, I would like turn it up a little bit more. And then I heard that do like that intro for Brackish, and I just blasted. I was like, this is gonna go hard. I just know it. I just know it in my heart. Like, this is it. This is the song.
This is the one that's gonna make me go ballistic. Yeah.
And it absolutely did. I was driving like 110 miles an hour.
Obviously, that's a parody. We all follow the speed limits here.
Precisely 59 miles an hour.
Yeah, I've definitely never gone 110 listening to this album either. Definitely never put the pedal to the metal during the fuck you think you're so funny part of Suck.
Oh my God, so good.
That part is like, that's like, I feel like such like a universal experience too, of like, they're able to capture so many like universal experiences of womanhood in this, but like really that thing of just like men who just like constantly harass you and joke with you in like a way that isn't actually funny at all. And just that, just like, yeah, like exactly like they say, just like, fuck you, like you think you're so funny, it's so fucking good. And then like, believe me when I say you suck. Yeah,
so good. That was a really good song. I love the one. Oh, shit, what is the name of this song? It's towards the end. When they're like, "I'm not good enough for you, King," or something like that.
Oh, is that on Choke or is that on Raven?
I think that's Choke.
Choke is an incredible song too. And like, again, like going back to the whole like things that like, you know, like it's like, it's unfortunate that we have to deal with this when we're so young, like the like chorus of that where it's like, you fucking pedophile. Yeah. It's like, oh God, it's like, it's painful to listen to, but it's also like so vindicating because it's like the anger that comes with it. And just the like, just being like, fuck you. Like, you think you can treat me like this? Like, you fucking can't.
I had a couple different like 90s, 2000s moments playing in my head while I was listening to this. Like, for some reason, Saved. Did you ever watch Saved? Oh my God.
No, I didn't.
Classic. Christian.
I'll have to check it.
Christian out. Girl gets pregnant by her gay closeted boyfriend, and then like, and she they go to like a Catholic school. And Mandy Moore's a bully because she was really great at that at the time.
Yeah.
Really good. And then so many movies that I feel like I don't know if they're in any soundtracks, but they should be. They should be in every vampire soundtrack. They should be in every soundtrack where there's just like a hot girl.
I agree. I know that Get Off, You Can Eat a Dick is on some movie soundtrack because I heard an interview with Fallon Bowman, who was the guitarist for this first album, and I think she left after this album. But she talked about like how like she was trying to get like acting gigs, I think, or something like that. And that when people would go to her IMDb, like the first thing that she's credited with is like a song called like Get Off (parentheses You Can Eat a Dick in parentheses). And she was like, God damn it. Like
that's awesome.
I know, that's the thing. Like she was like, she sounded like she was like, oh, like damn, like that sucks. But I was like, that's so fucking cool. Like I would love if that was like my fucking like claim to fame.
I read, and I'm sorry to use Wikipedia as a source, but I don't like particularly dig into these artists before doing this because I just don't feel like that's our thing, I guess.
No.
But I did look at their Wikipedia because I wanted to know what Brackish was about. But then I read that the Get Off, You Can Eat a Dick is like because they got kicked off of a talent show, which I think is hilarious. Like,
that rocks so hard. Oh my God.
The like every single song had like a why they wrote it on it, and every reason was really funny. It was, I appreciated it.
That's so sick. And I love like that, like being in the middle of these like very like songs about like being treated like in a very like misogynist way, and like, you know, like the like, you know, like the way that, you know, like the overt sexualization of them and everything like that in a way that like shouldn't have been happening and still shouldn't happen, no matter what at the age, but especially, you know, to a minor. And it's just like, and then all of a sudden it's just like, we got kicked out of a talent show.
It was so good. It's that, I don't know. It's, I talk about this a lot, but I really just love when you see that marriage of like childhood and also like the things that are more adult that you learn as a child, and like see it existing together. It's just an interesting dynamic to me.
It is, and it feels very like, it feels very human because it's like, you know, like we all go through like, you know, these awful things that happen to us, but then we also do have those small moments like that that do like almost equally piss us off.
I think that's, I don't know. Teenage girl rage is really great, I think.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Being an angry teenage girl is like the greatest feeling. There's, in the world. Yeah,
nothing compares. I miss her.
The same. Like I think about it constantly. I'm just like, oh, I used to be such like a pissed off like teenage girl. Like I really, really miss it.
Have you ever seen the movie Assassination Nation?
I don't believe.
Please,
I have.
Please don't ever watch it. It's trash. It's terrible. But I think a lot about that movie when I listen to this record because it's almost like it feels like what that movie was trying to accomplish. That movie, I'm pretty sure, was written by a man, so like strike one. But it's about a bunch of teen, it's like The Crucible almost, like a horror movie version where these teenage girls that are like in a clique, the whole town gets mad at them because somebody is like anonymously leaking people's phone data, and a lot of stuff like comes back to them in a way that pisses off, like, you know, men. Like one of them, for example, is one of them is like having an affair, which is a terrible expression because she's a teenager. She's having an affair with the guy who she babysits for, this like married man she babysits for. She's being raped, is actually and taken advantage of and groomed. But anyway, it was just a really triggering, really terrible movie that went about like all these feelings that this record kind of goes through, but like in the worst way possible.
it's almost like an antithesis to this record, because this record I think handles everything very, very well. Yeah.
Well, it's honest. It's from the people experiencing those things. It's not somebody's like sensationalized vision of what it's like.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not like somebody like trying to like just like pretend that they understand what it's like to go through something like this. Or like use it for shock value.
I would almost recommend people to watch Assassination Nation just to know how to do this wrong. but like also don't watch it, honestly. It's really triggering. And if just even from that, from the trigger warning at the beginning of the movie, you know this movie is going to be trash and like not handle this stuff well, because the trigger warning is just like every word that's triggering flashing super quickly across the screen.
Oh, yeah. What the fuck?
So you're like, yeah, that's not helpful. That's not what a trigger warning is.
Yeah, not at all. Oh my God.
But in a perfect world, Assassination Nation would have been written by Kitty and scored by them and starred them. It would have been
It's funny that you mentioned that, because I definitely, like, just, like, in terms of, like, high school, like, angry girl kind of mode, like, I definitely thought a lot about Heather as while I was watching this, but that also, or while listening to this, but that also just might be because, like, I found both of them around the same time when I was in high school. So, or I guess maybe more, like, late middle school, either 8th grade or freshman year, I can't remember. But, because I do think there is some kind of, like, weird overlap there. Like, definitely, like, Kitty is much more visceral and less, you know, like, needlessly dramatic. But, definitely something that came to my mind while I was listening to this. And, you know, I never really stopped listening to this album. And I listened to it, I would say, probably in full, probably, like, once a month. But listening to it this past week, I mean, like, every day, like, multiple times a day, it's just, like, it's so fucking good. Like, I don't even know how else to explain it.
It's hard. Like, it is so good.
It's one of the most, like, aggressive albums I've heard, too. Just, like, it pulls absolutely no punches in terms of, like, sonic weight at all. Like, the riffs are absurdly heavy, and like you said, the vocals are, you know, like, sometimes not super heavy, but I mean, you know, I think her name is Morgan, like, she can yell like fucking hell, and it's awesome.
I really love the way they layer their vocals, because I think that it's like that perfect blend of that childish kind of, you know, they are 16-year-olds with like the real anger of a full human being, which 16-year-olds are. I think it's like a really beautiful marriage, like the way that they blend their different voices together, so both of those things come across.
Yeah, because like that's very true, because when you are 16, like, if you've been through, you know, like certain things, like, especially like the stuff that's talked about on this album, like, you do have the capacity to have like fully grown rage and like fully grown kind of, like, you know, like, you know that, you know, things happened to you were wrong, and you don't need to, you know, you don't need to be an adult to understand that what happened to you was wrong. Right. But it's, God, it's so good. yeah, because I mean, just opening even with Spit, which is such a good opener for this album, I think. And just the way that it, like I said, like, it's immediate, like, what, you know, what you're getting into when you hear this.
Yeah.
Cause like, there's definitely like been like artists that we've covered and everything. Like, I mean, you know, Deftones is kind of a little bit softer at times, and Limp Bizkit, you know, they have like the intro song, and stuff like that. But this album is like,
and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, but this album is just like, okay, like, we're like full like aggression here, like, we're really like going for something.
Yeah.
Because I mean, even like Korn, like, Blind is not as heavy as a lot of their other songs on that album. I think like the only other one that like really is kind of like that we've covered that like starts out as aggressive as kind of the album actually gets is I do think like Prison Song is probably the most aggressive song on Toxicity. Mm-hmm. And I think that's like the only other one that we've been like, okay, like here's the beginning of the album and here's where you know what you're getting into.
Yeah. Yeah. I think maybe a Battle of Los Angeles as well.
Oh yeah, that's true.
But I do like, okay, I think I tweeted this like a week or two ago about how people are underestimating how pissed off women are.
Yes.
And I stand by that, and I always will. Like, however mad people think we are, we're like 1,000 times more mad. Like, yeah. At minimum. And that's like when I'm not that mad.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
and I do love that this record is angry the entire way through. There's no break. Like, we're not going to take it easy on you. Like, this is how it feels 100% of the time.
Yeah, and one of the nice things, too, is, like, they very much, like, openly reject the, like, broken woman stereotype of, like just being, like, sad and broken. Mm-hmm. Very much reject that to just being like, no, like, I'm not like sad and broken, like I've been mistreated, I'm fucking pissed off mm-hmm. about it. Because I think that's the thing, is like most, like, you know, I think, and I think that's one of the reasons that this album doesn't get as much attention, and not even just in like nu metal circles, but like in general, like as good of an album as it deserves to get, is because most of the time when people want music from women, they want it to be like sad, like wounded bird kind of music, you know, like they want, and these are artists I love, but like still, like they want like Julian Baker or like Joni Mitchell or Vashti Bunyan or somebody, you know, like somebody like that. They don't want a woman who makes them like confront the fact that women act like are treated like shit and are mad about it.
Yeah, everybody wants women like, to be emotionally mature.
Emotionally mature, but they want to be like something that they can like pick up and like treat better and fix, and it's like that's not what we fucking are.
And even I wouldn't even say that's 100% of the time that that's what people are asking for. I think there is some room for like a different emotion that they want from female music, but it still comes down to they want us to rise above.
Yeah.
You know what? Fuck that.
I don't want to process.
Sometimes you don't want to process things. Sometimes you don't want to be forgiving or the bigger person or the person who healed or the person who, you know, you just want to be mad because it's your right to be.
Yeah, sometimes I don't want to learn and grow from my fucking experiences. I want to fucking break something.
Right. I want to put on Doc Martens that are 5 inches tall, and I want to jump off of things and break glass and scream at people. Like, that should be, we should be allowed to do that.
Exactly. And I feel like that's something that's like typically so denied. And I think that's one of the reasons that this album has such a resonation with me, because it really does like give us that kind of space to just yell and feel totally vindicated and justified in our yelling and in our anger.
I think it actually says a lot about why specifically we as women like connect with nu metal, to be honest, is because of that like lack of space of like rage for us in music. Mm-hmm. It makes sense that so many women gravitate towards like this really angry, cathartic kind of music that doesn't have that isn't like apologizing for being mad.
Yeah. And, like, also, it doesn't bury its anger in any sort of, like, vague, like, metaphorical, you know, whatever bullshit. Like, it's not like listening to fucking Metallica where it's all, like, hidden behind some weird, like, needlessly, like, fantasy-based lyric. It's like, no, like, here's, like, a legitimate thing that I'm pissed off about.
So good.
It really is.
Love it.
It's just unbelievable how front to back this album is. And it's also kind of interesting to view it almost as like a counterpoint to Limp Bizkit, too, where, you know, we talked a little bit on that episode where it's like Fred Durst's lyrics are so unjustified. Like, it's like, really, like, what's your actual problem here? Like, this woman wouldn't sleep with you, you know what I mean? Or like, you thought she was after you for your money, like, whatever, like, who cares? But like, it's like on the complete opposite end, like, this album exists as an antithesis, or, you know, alternatively, Limp Bizkit exists as an antithesis to this, of like, this album is justified. This album is right to be pissed mm-hmm. off. Which I think is like a very interesting dynamic to kind of look at. And like something that I think is very, and like you said, like we don't have the space to be angry, but we're at like, as women, like we have every right to be more angry than most men do.
And I feel like, I don't know, I think about how we process our mental health issues and how we process our pain and trauma and how much it would be probably to heal if we could get the anger phase out, but it's mm-hmm. like such a repressed, like, not even, even for people who, like women who don't repress their anger, it's this like really looked down upon thing. Like men can be angry and it's like emotionally valid, you know, like,
yes,
Eminem gets to be angry and it's like a sign of something deeper about him, like artistically.
Right,
not, like it's like a joke, you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's, yeah, like exactly, like the men have space to be angry, and it's like, you know, as long as, you know, there's obviously like a certain level where it goes beyond like just regular anger, right. But like regular anger is accepted mm-hmm. in men.
If
and it's definitely not. Yeah, exactly. Like being, you know, slightly angry or like regularly angry is like encouraged in men. But like for women, like, even if you have like the most like justified anger, it's like, well, you know, like maybe you're exaggerating or maybe, you know, you're taking this a little bit too much to heart or something like that. But like men never get to
yeah.
that.
It's like, it doesn't get to be complex for women. No. It's like a joke.
Exactly.
Which, I don't know, that's so funny to me. We're like usually on the justified spectrum, like end of the spectrum of being like pissed off.
I mean, that's really almost like the ultimate dig of it all, right? Is like we're the ones who have every right to actually be angry. And then, like, men who have, like, the smallest problems. And, like, I'm saying, like, you know, I don't want to completely, like, invalidate, you know, like, there are men who have, like, legitimate problems to be angry about and everything. But, like, men who have, like, the smallest problems in the world are just, like, they get to be, like, so pissed off. And, like, everybody's just, like, oh, like, it's a sign of, like, something deeper. Or, like, oh, you know, like, it's just how, you know, like, how you respond to something like that. And it's, like, motherfucker, like, I have way more reason to be mad. And I get told to, like, you know, like, just like that I'm over exaggerating or something mm-hmm. like that. I'm being hysterical.
Exactly.
So, and that's one of the greatest like cathartic things about this album is like, cause like you said, like with all of nu metal, and one of the reasons I think we're like drawn to it is because it is like a space for us to get that anger out. But it's at least, you know, like sevenfold here where it's like, it's also other women saying how angry mm-hmm. they are.
Which I think always so resonates. On a deeper
level. Yeah. And about, you know, and not just making like aggressive music, but making music about things that are justified in being angry about. And I think are things that happen to most women.
Yeah, definitely.
But I think it's a very, there's like so many like sociological, like perspectives you can take on this album and why it, because I mean, really, probably musically, this album or Battle of Los Angeles or Toxicity are probably like musically the best written albums.
I have to agree.
And Toxicity and Battle of Los Angeles are, you know, like renowned throughout history and like still talked about and like have almost like, and also same with like White Pony, where we saw that dog shit article. Which is like so offensive, but whatever. where it's like they're like vindicated throughout history, but like this album completely fell by the wayside. And I really think it's because like music journalism and like kind of the people who controlled the zeitgeist at the time it was, especially in metal, you know, it was dominated by men. And I think that, you know, this album probably made a lot of them very uncomfortable, and they kind of just wanted to ignore it and look over it. Because a lot of this stuff is, most men who listen to this will probably have to come to terms at some point that one of these songs could be about them. And I don't think they want to deal with that. And so I think this album got pushed aside.
Yeah. And I think it's just like, I don't know that much has changed with regards to like infantilizing or claiming that women, music by women is like less, I don't know, intelligent, I guess is the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Like everybody on the planet knows that I hate Taylor Swift. Although right. I love Folklore, but I really don't like this person, like as a person. And her music never really did anything for me before, although now I'm like thinking about listening to it because I liked Folklore so much. But I will never like get over the Ryan Adams thing. Like, especially because now, at the time, I don't think people knew this, but like now we all know he's crazy. Like, so it's just funny to me how like men get lended a depth that they didn't always earn. And women's depth gets turned into shallow and.
Well, and it also gets like maligned much more easily. I mean, like anytime like a woman has like some sort of like Azalea Banks or something, you know, like immediately like everybody just treats her like this like absolute like crazy person. But meanwhile, you know, like people are still like talking about like Kanye's hidden depths and like all that stuff. And like, I'm not saying that, you know, like, Kanye doesn't have, you know, problems that need to be worked through and everything, but like, why does he get so much credit when like Azalea Banks, everybody just completely writes off?
Yeah. And it's, dude, the guy has like cheese for brains. Like, I think that's really clear now, you know, like,
yeah.
And this is coming from someone who is a huge Kanye fan who gave him, I gave him more breaks than probably I should have, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I just, and Azalea, I feel like 9 times out of 10, when Kanye says something crazy, it is 100% crazy. It does not turn out to be correct later. And the opposite is true for Azalea. Like,
yes, exactly.
She usually hits the nail on the head in a very distressing way. But is almost always correct, like later. I mean, she obviously has said some really terrible things, but. She's very intelligent. Like, there's just such a difference in like depth and intelligence between them that it's funny to me how her crazy is.
Well, yeah, because really, because when women have any sort of, you know, like, and I'm not sure about Azalea Banks, but and so I'm not exactly tying it to her, but just in general, when women have some sort of mental illness and like act out with it. All of a sudden, like they're crazy. When men have like some sort of mental illness and act out with it, it's like, oh, like. They're, you know, like they're hurting or, you know, they're damaged or something like that. And like, obviously that's true.
It's true for both. And I'm not saying,
And that's what I'm saying is like, I'm not saying that, you know, like men or something like who have mental illness deserve to be like written off the way that women do. It's that both deserve the actual attention. Mm-hmm. And when you know, like you have like somebody who like ends up being, you know, like maybe not abusive because I think in general people agree that that's bad, but like somebody who treats people like, you know, is like maybe unnecessarily mean or, you know, something like that. Men get this pass where it's like, oh, like mental illness. But like when it's women, it's like, oh, like she's like a crazy bitch.
Right.
And I think that, yeah. Or I mean, like, you know, like even like with like Britney Spears, queen. You know, she was, you know, like everybody just made fun of her. She became like a literal like cultural punchline for years.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, like, somebody like, I mean, the obvious go-to example is, like, Kanye West, but I'm sure there are other artists if I, you know, gave the thought to it that I'm not giving right now. But, like, that happens a lot with male art. Justin Timberlake had kind of a similar thing where, you know, he ended up kind of being a piece of shit, but then he retreats and comes out with this soft, sensitive album, and all of a sudden everybody forgives him because, like, oh, he was just going through a bad time or whatever. You know, like, these people are given, like, so many passes that women just aren't given. Like, we have to be, like, we have to not only be, like, perfect people, but we also have to be perfect victims at all times.
Composed. Mm-hmm. We're expected and to be composed even when the perfectly legitimate reaction would be to not be composed.
Yeah, and with men and everything, you know, it's always let them take it at their own pace, let them hide it. Women, if you aren't willing to re-traumatize yourself, you're a liar.
Yeah.
Or you're crazy or something like that. And it's like, okay, just because I don't want to re-traumatize myself constantly doesn't invalidate the trauma that I went through.
Yeah.
And men are afforded that luxury that they don't have to re-traumatize themselves all the time. But women aren't. So, and I think that, you know, this album, is able to touch on a lot of that very, very well.
Yeah. I was thinking of the Britney Spears episode of Glee, which is an iconic episode. So good. But even then, when this was, it came out in 2009 or 10, I want to say. So it was, after her, breakdown or whatever, where she had already become a punchline. And it was interesting to watch the writers work through that, because all the kids, the Glee Club, loved her and you know, thought about all, they talked about all her, how iconic she is, you know, she's Britney.
It is Britney Spears, right? At the end of the day, she is one of the most important cultural figures ever.
Yeah. But it was interesting, seeing that kind of middle space of her coming out of that era of her career, because the teacher character, Matthew Morrison's character, was so dismissive of the kids when they wanted to do Britney Spears songs, and just acting like there was no depth to her. And everybody kind of schooled him throughout the whole episode. And I thought it was really, I thought it was really lovely. I think a lot of people in the general culture needed that episode. And needed to hear the reframing of Britney Spears's experience. Cause there was one character who was dude, she had the pressure of the entire world on her and came out of it, you know, on the other side.
Yeah.
Stronger than ever. But
right,
God, I love her. I'm sorry, now I'm just thinking about how much I love Britney Spears.
When will there be a Kitty Glee episode?
Oh my God! Excuse me. There was an episode when they did a My Chemical Romance song, and
wait, are you for real?
It was terrible. No idea.
That's so funny. Oh my God. But yeah, no, I think that. I think that that's a very interesting kind of point to make about, there is there's a lot of, and you know, a lot of it is pretty obvious how much substance there is to this music, but it gets written off so quickly. And I think, you know, Kitty is kind of the same way, because you can find these one-off little silly lyrics or whatever, and people instantly write it off for one lyric, or, you know, even before they listen to it, they'll write it off oh, it's 16-year-olds, you know, something like that. Yeah. But there is really very heavy, you know, kind of subject matter, and it's covered very tactfully and very well, and in a way that doesn't get expressed as much as it deserves to be expressed. Yeah. And, you know, I think, you know, a lot of music by women gets written off that way. I think a lot of, you know, pop star women, Britney Spears is obviously a great example. I think Rihanna, I think, you know, Beyonce escapes this trap a little bit because she's reached such a level of, you know, cultural reverence. But for the most part, I think women artists are just written off as bubblegum pop or whatever, you know what I mean? And obviously that's, I'm not saying that everybody thinks that way, but I think that's kind of the general cultural attitude towards them. And they do cover a lot of, you know, very important topics with an extreme level of tact and depth that, you know, a lot of people don't have to deal with. And because, you know, men kind of set the zeitgeist, they're able to push that aside and make it, you know, either either pop just becomes an aesthetic statement instead of actually acknowledging what the women are saying, which I think definitely has happened to men who listen to artists like Carly Rae Jepsen or Charlie XCX, where, like, you know, like, some of their music can really resonate with us as women emotionally, but I think for men it's much more of an aesthetic.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's kind of the same way with Kitty, where I think the men who do listen to Kitty, it's like just goth aesthetic or metal aesthetic. It's not, I think a lot of it is being willfully ignorant of what they're actually saying. Because as I said earlier, I think, and, you know, I think a lot of men would be forced to reconcile with the fact that most of these songs be about them.
Yeah.
You know, even a lot of men who are, you know, pretty socially aware and are, you know, generally good people. And that's the thing is, like, you know, this isn't like some sort of indictment that, like, all men are like these evil garbage people.
Hashtag not all men.
Like, it's fun to, you know, say that and goof on that. But, like, obviously both of us, like, we interact with a decent number of men who I think we both hold, you know, pretty high reverence for. Shouts out to the men of the group chat. But, like, you know, I think that even most good men, you know, went through at least one period in their life where they definitely acted in a way where they would talk over women, they would call women crazy, you know, like something like that.
Right.
And that's, you know, it's the process of unlearning that makes somebody a good person versus a bad person.
Right.
Because we all had our flaws. And if you're willing to unlearn and you're willing to relearn, you know, that's what separates the good from the bad. But I think a lot of people are still uncomfortable with kind of being called out for a lot of that stuff. And especially at the era where this album came out, where it was such a masculine environment.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of people who just didn't want to address, like, hey, maybe I'm the one who is like, fuck you, you think you're so funny. Or like, maybe I'm the one. It's like, it's about where it's like, why do I get shit all the time from you men? You are swine. Like,
so good.
You know, I think there's, I know, like, I think there's a lot of people who didn't want to address something like that.
Yeah.
Which is maybe why this album doesn't get the credit that I believe it deserves.
Just, it should be a part of the canon. Like,
yeah.
I know I'm new to it, but I'm firm on that.
Because I know a lot of, like, new metal fans and stuff who I've talked to Kitty about, and they're just like, yeah, like, I never gave Kitty a shot. And I'm like, why? Like,
in my defense, I had, like, never heard of them.
Oh, yeah.
But if I had heard of them, I hope I would have given them a chance. I don't see why I wouldn't have, but that I hadn't heard of them, like, speaks to the position that they were in, you know? Like,
yeah.
Why didn't I hear of them? They're amazing. Musically speaking, that you could put any lyrics over their music, and the music whips, like, it's good. They could be saying anything. They don't even have to be saying anything important. Like, but I've heard of Limp Bizkit.
Yeah,
who've never
exactly
had anything important to say in their careers.
Exactly. Or, like, you know, like, people have heard of, like, Coal Chamber, or, like, you know, POD even. Or, like, Power Man 5000 or Papa Roach.
Papa Roach.
Yeah, and it's like, why is Papa Roach more in the canon than fucking Kitty? But, oh my god. But yeah, the musicality of this album, like you said, like, you could put any lyrics over this. Like, the lyrics are incredible, but, like, even if they weren't, like, fucking the, is it on Raven where it has that, like, cut in and out bass riff at the beginning?
I want to say yes, but I'm the last person you should ask.
But our Johnny that has that really, like, nasty, like, sludgy chorus.
So I love that, like, that first guitar, and then that second guitar comes in right at the beginning. It sounds so good.
Yeah. Oh my god. And then, like, Morgan's vocals are just so, like, so well done, and Fallon's on the couple songs that she sings on as well. Like, I mean, they're just incredibly talented people, is the thing. No matter what was being said, as long as it wasn't problematic, they would have deserved attention anyways. And obviously it's not problematic, and it's great stuff that they're being said, so it's like, why does this not get the attention?
Yeah. I'm thinking about, like, other angry woman music, and it really might be the best genre of music.
It is. Oh, absolutely. I mean, like, My Ruin, like, Lingua Ignota, certain Chelsea Wolfe songs, like, it's It really is the best genre of music.
I'm more familiar with like angry country singers.
Oh, I was just talking to my friend this morning about how, like, Before He Cheats is one of the greatest songs of all time.
So good.
Or, what's it, Kerosene by Miranda Lambert is a fucking
Miranda's
classic.
Miranda's incredible. Like,
I don't
even listen to country music. I mean, obviously, I'm trying to get into it right now, if, in case you don't follow me on Twitter and don't know this, anyone in the audience, but I've decided that it's time for me to get into country music. But the country music that I was familiar with, the reason that I want to explore it more is because 100% because of female artists. Carrie, Miranda, the Pistol Annies, the Chicks.
I was going to say, like, the yeah. Dixie Chicks. Like, oh my God. Fucking, obviously. What's the song that, Not Ready to Make Nice? Not Ready to Make Nice is, like, unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, Loretta Lynn is like, she's so fucking good. Shania Twain, a classic as well. But yeah, women really do everything better, don't we?
Who knew anger would be the thing we do best, really?
Yeah. Well, and, you know, to kind of circle back around to, you know, what we were saying earlier, it's because, like, we are, for the most part, like, just constantly put in situations that we have every right to be angry about. Like, you get, like, you know, harassed on the street. Like, that's something that, like, if that happened to a man, he'd be pissed about it for, like, a fucking year. We just have to deal with it.
It's just, like, normal. One of the things that strikes me, and I'm sure, we haven't talked about this, and I bet you have a story, is being followed. Like,
oh, yeah.
That's just normal for us. Like, we're just normal.
Yeah, or, like, not being able to, like, leave a conversation. Like, even if they're not, like following you, like, silently. Mm-hmm. Just, like, if you, like, try to, like, walk away from a conversation, they follow you and keep talking to you. Or, like, also, like, the, like, way that, like, men are just so comfortable, like, during a conversation halfway through to, like, just tell you that they, like, want to fuck you. And it's, like, if, like, you know, like, I know, like, a couple men who have had, like, that happen to them, like, once in their life, and they tell those stories for, like, 4 years, just being like, oh, I totally get it, like, this happened to me once, and it's like, yeah, this happens to me all the fucking
time. And we're not even allowed to, I don't know, it feels like we're not even allowed to comment on how strange that is, you know? Like, I don't even get to bitch about that because of rape. Like, because rape is so intense and serious, I don't get to bitch about guys who tell me to my face that they want to fuck me or that they sexually objectify me or whatever. And that's so fucked up. That our level of, like, abuse and trauma is so intense that minor, quote unquote, minor things need to just roll off our back.
Yeah. And, like, even, like, the serious stuff, there's always, like, some sort of caveat of, like, well, no matter how serious that bad thing that happened to you was, it could have happened to you worse.
And
it's like, okay, and, like, that doesn't make it not have happened to me in a terrible, awful way that, like, traumatized me.
It's ridiculous. And the worst part is another layer of that anger is you have to undo that for yourself. Like, you have to untell yourself that, like, you can't be angry about this because it could have been worse. Like, it's ridiculous.
Because I constantly do that. I mean, I know that's, like, something that I've talked to a couple times, like, or I've talked about a couple times with different people where it's, like, you know, they're, like, you know, you constantly are just, like, saying, like, oh, it wasn't that bad, or it wasn't that bad, it could have been worse. And it's, like, you would never tell anybody else that. And I'm, like, yeah, but it's different for me.
Yeah.
And that's really the way that we're taught is, you know, we're taught that, because, like, as women, like, you know, we are, I think, very naturally just empathetic towards people in a way that just comes naturally. Like, when you're somebody who goes through so much, you naturally are empathetic to people who go through similar things, you know? You're so, like, forgiving and, like, helpful towards other people, but then for yourself you're just like, oh, it's not that big a deal, you win some, you lose some, like, whatever.
Right. You hold yourself up to, like, an impossible standard because you've been trained to, like, you've been socialized to to compare it to worse things, which is just terrible.
Because you have to be, you have to be the perfect victim too. You know, you have to be this, like, you know, ideologically pure figure. And if you're not, then all of a sudden, like, whatever happened to you is wrong. Like, it was your fault.
You have to be, or, you have to be as innocent as humanly possible, like, for your abuse to count.
And you can't, and you can't be angry about it either, because that tarnishes your image of being the perfect victim. You have to just be, you have to either tough through it, or you have to be, like, completely broken and, like, let other people, like, fix you, quote unquote. It's like, those are, like, your only two paths. Like, you either have to do a project for somebody, or you have to be, like, made of steel.
Yeah, which is so unreasonable. Like,
exactly. Like, you don't have any space to be, like, a human being processing your emotions when you're a woman. Yeah. And, yeah. I love the dynamic of this podcast where we talk about this and then this.
Fred Durst, hot or not. Next up, rape culture.
Oh my god. Just like corn fed in two sentences. Like, is Gino Moreno the hottest guy in nu metal? Women aren't allowed to have a genuine life.
And you know what? That's how it is. So
we, that's how it is.
Reality, man. We're reflecting real life. I don't know what to tell you.
That's right. But yeah, I do think, and that's one of the things that I said it earlier, but it really is the rejection of being the perfect victim on this album makes it such a cathartic listen, because it's just like, I am right to be fucking pissed off. I have every fucking reason to feel this way, and fuck you if you tell me that I don't. Yeah. Like, and I think that it's such an important album to me, because, you know, like we've talked about, I found it a little bit earlier and everything, and it's a very important album to me for that reason, because it was just something that let me kind of feel that way and kind of acknowledge that maybe a little bit earlier, and have some sort of catharsis that I could build into it.
Yeah, I genuinely feel like it should be required for, like, therapy. Like, as you're processing, here's your anger phase, listen to this record, it'll help.
If you're, like, a 15 to 22-year-old girl, like, this, like, there should be something in place to make sure that you listen to this album at least once.
It's like sex ed, and then you get a copy of Kitty Spit.
Exactly.
It's in there with, like, your first tampon. And
I remember, too, like, when I found this album and, like, looking at it, and I just remember thinking, like, this is the, like, exact aesthetic that I want, too. Like, they should also be required, because, like, you're gonna, like, see how they dress and be like, okay, like, that's so
cool. These bitches are so cool, yeah.
Like, it's so cool. Like, they look so awesome. Like, I wish I was that cool when I was in high school.
I wish I was that cool now. Like,
same, actually, yeah.
Like, I can tell you that immediately after seeing pictures of them when they were younger, I was like, ugh, I gotta reassess some of my clothing.
Literally. Like, just, like, the fucking, like, yeah, the, like, mid-calf, like, platform boots with, like fishnets and, like, fucking, like, black lipstick is, like, so fucking cool. Like,
I can't believe that's, like, considered alt.
I know.
Should be the main way that girls look. Like,
that's what I'm saying. Everybody should dress like this.
I love that. I love them. I love that, like, thread that I have of people that are us.
Because
I think that people think that, well, I don't know, you might even see it this way. I think you won't, because you know us so much better, but I think a lot of people see it and go, oh yeah, the pink one is Jazz and the goth one is Kai. But I think it's, like, really interchangeable.
No, exactly. Like, that's the thing. Like, that's what made it so good, is because I, like, when you posted that, it's like, the pictures are never, like, this is me and Jazz separately. It's, this is a picture of me and Jazz intertwined.
Exactly.
Into these two.
So I feel like everybody should either look like a princess or look like the princess of hell.
Exactly. And honestly, that's the thing, is some days I wake up and I want to look like one or the
exactly.
other.
Exactly. There's no middle ground.
No, some days I wake up and I want to wear my red dress with my fucking lace tights and, you know, put on some like pink lipstick and wear a wig. And then some days I want to look grungy as shit with like fucking like fishnet top and like a corn t-shirt and like Doc Martens and like it really and like a jacket that has like a back patch that says Disease of Men on it. Like
and my pussy magnet jacket.
Exactly. That is very true because that's funny because I saw that thread and I had the same thought where I know exactly what Jazz
Thank
is going
you.
For here and like and I was like I feel like people are gonna misinterpret it.
I felt that way too, but I was like I don't need to clarify. Kind of.
No up. Fuck. Yeah. Well, I feel like the people who like really know both of us get it. Like, but. Yeah, but oh my god, but yeah, this album. I would say I actually think this is probably my favorite album of the records that we've covered so far. Mm-hmm.
I feel like we say that every week, but it's just that they're so good.
Yeah, exactly.
Every week it changes to whatever we covered that week.
I love $3 Bill, y'all. I will say I don't think I ever said $3 Bill, y'all was the best one.
I think that's like understood that we were not holding that one up to the canon.
I think of the ones that we've done so far, I think this is number one. I would probably put Korn as number two, and then Rage Against the Machine is number three, and then System of a Down, and then Hybrid White Pony.
Yeah, for you.
And then Hybrid Theory, and then $3 Bill, y'all. But there's a significant drop off between Hybrid Theory and $3 Bill.
I feel like we need to balance this out and do like a few more like really shitty new metal albums.
Yeah. Next week we'll do like Coal Chamber or something, or like Soulfly.
I would say this.
Oh, we could do Disturbed. We could do Disturbed. That would be fun. We can do what's the name of the album that Stricken is on? 10,000 Fists. We could do.
That's this. The one. That's like the iconic one, I think.
Yeah, well, because Down with the Sickness is like their iconic song, but I feel like 10,000 Fists has more songs on it that people know.
Yeah.
Because like Down with the Sickness only has Down with the Sickness, but like 10,000 Fists has like Land of Confusion, mm-hmm. Stricken, Deify, 10,000 Fists
yeah,
song.
I was gonna say
like,
10,000 Fists.
Yeah. So like I feel like it's probably like generally bigger, even if Down with the Sickness is like their biggest mm-hmm. one. So that'll be our next week episode. We'll do 10,000 Fists by the
I'm really excited to, after I finish this, I was going to watch two episodes of Doctor Who. Please don't judge me. I don't know if you saw that tweet that was like, I'm about to do something deranged. But that is what I was referring to.
I did not see that, but that is
Thank
deranged.
You.
But also, I mean, listen, I can't say shit. Like, I can't tell you how many episodes of Deadliest Warrior I've watched in the past month.
I feel like I've been teetering on this level of insanity for a while. And finally today I was like, you know what? I'm unhinged. Let's do this. Restart Doctor Who from the beginning. I can actually tell you the exact last episode of Doctor Who that I watched because it was one that came out in theaters in 2012. When I was with my ex, and we saw it in theaters, and I never saw an episode of Doctor Who after that ever again.
Holy
So it's been a while.
Hold on. I'll be right back.
Thank you for recognizing and affirming that that's unhinged. Because I told Fred, and he was like, "That's not that bad." It's like, oh, honey.
Oh no. I've never seen Doctor Who. I may have seen like one or two episodes in passing, but like I never sat down and watched it or anything. But I know enough about it to know that wanting to watch Doctor Who definitely makes you a little unhinged.
Like all you need to know is like what the fandom looks like for.
That's true,
like you just
yeah.
need to think of the average Doctor Who fan and be like, yeah, she's not doing well.
I was a little unhinged recently. I just rewatched all of Twin Peaks.
That's like a cool unhinged, though.
That is.
Like, people would respect that version of Unhinged.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I was talking to my grandma on the phone actually about it recently. And she, because she liked it when it was on originally, like the first two seasons in the movie. She like enjoyed it. And we were talking about it. And I was like, I love this show. And I'm really glad that it's popular because I like when things I like are popular. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because I like being able to talk about things with people. But like, it really is shocking to me how popular that show is for how like disturbing and weird it can get, and like some of the topics that are like covered in it. I'm like, how was this like, how was this like a household TV show? You know what I mean? Like, I love it, and I'm glad that it is, because I think it deserves that level of respect and attention and everything. But it is like one of those things where I'm just like, how did this get to that?
Yeah. But yeah, I'm going to watch a couple episodes of Doctor Who, and then I'm going to go for a run and listen to Kitty spit. I'm very excited.
Yes.
And now I'm like, I'm sad because, well, I do want us to take a little bit of a break between this one and Disturbed.
Yeah. I was thinking we should do 2 weeks this time. Yeah,
but because I feel bad when I, this always happens. We do an episode, and then like afterward, I keep listening to the album that we just did the episode on. Mm-hmm. And then I like have to try to make up and like listen to the one we're supposed to be listening to like a bunch of times.
Yeah.
So I'm like glad that we're taking a little bit of space, because I don't feel like I got to sit with this one as much as I want to.
Yeah.
But I know you really wanted to do this episode, and I mean, I wanted to talk about it too, so.
Well, and like, it's also cool to kind of get like, you're like, kind of like, I like talking to you about like when we do the albums that like you haven't listened to. It's also kind of cool because I like getting that kind of like almost like first listen reaction. Not exactly first listen, but like somebody who's like very new to it. Like, yeah, because like for like, and it gets me excited about the songs that I haven't thought about as much, you know, because like when I listen to this album, like I've listened to it enough times, like I know, like I love every song on this album. One of those things where it's like I know which ones I really want to tune in for. Like I tune in immediately for Spit, and then I tune back in for Suck, and then I tune back in for Brackish, and then Do You Think I'm a Whore, and then I tune back in for Choke, you know what I mean? But like, it's always nice because like we get to talk about like the couple like songs that I like haven't thought about as much, like when we mentioned Johnny earlier, or like Paper Doll or Charlotte.
Well, Paper Doll is so good.
Yeah, and it's, which I guess actually that is, we can edit out like that little middle section of us taking a break, but like we should talk, what are your top three on this album?
I think my top three are definitely Brackish is number one, like.
Yeah, I think we agree on that.
That track is so insane. I think number two would be, hold on, let me pull up the track list, because I don't have it as memorized as you do. While you pull that up,
I can tell you mine, because mine are what?
I said, Jess? Oh yeah, you go.
Okay, yeah. Well, you pull up the track list, I'll say mine. So my top three are Brackish is definitely number one, and then Spit is number two. I mean, and then Do You Think I'm a Whore is number three.
Yeah. Do You Think I'm a Whore is really good. I figured that was going to be on your top three.
Yeah. Which I did love the WAP post.
<Thank you. laughs> I was like, the audience for this tweet is one person, but that's okay.
It made me like legitimately laugh my ass off when I did it.
And then the perfect thing was that Drew did that remix of WAP.
Yeah.
I can hear this. Like, this could work.
It absolutely could.
Okay, give me 1 second, because if I close out of the app for even a second, it stops recording. So give me one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Brackish is definitely the best song on here. I would say that that's not even a question. I think, like, just objectively speaking, it has to be.
That's might be one of the best songs ever written. Like, I felt truly like I had just been born when I heard that song.
Yeah. Like you said, like that like fucking intro riff that is like that. It's just like, you know, you're in for something. And then like the fucking, and then the drums and the bass come in too. And you're just like, oh, this is incredible.
Yeah, and with the chorus, with the layered vocals and the rapping. Oh, so good. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because Fallon's rapping there is insane too.
Yeah, she's fast.
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't think this has ever happened, but we have the exact same top three.
Fuck yes! Yeah. God damn, that's a first.
It's a hell of a three-song run.
It is. I mean, like, it doesn't let up at all.
That was like the, like I said, from the beginning, from the moment that I started listening to it, I was like, oh, this rips. But I'm pretty sure Suck is where I like started losing my mind. So, and then yeah. I just didn't stop losing my mind for the next three songs.
Exactly. It's unbelievable, really. And then, I mean, you know, I went Spit Through Brackish as like the six song run, but like, honestly, you could say that this whole album is just like a perfect, like a 12 song run.
Yeah, I agree. Cause normally pretty much every record we've done that I wasn't already familiar with, I have spots where I just kind of would tune out and I would have to work extra hard to like tune into those songs to get the full picture. But this, I can go through this whole album nonstop every single time and be entertained.
Yeah, because I don't think there's a song on here that I tune out at all. Because like on Korn, I definitely tune out Predictable and Helmet in the Bush a little bit. Battle of Los Angeles, I tune out Mic Check. I don't really like that song very much. And Born as Ghosts, I think is what it's called. I'm not as big on that one either. White Pony, I think is the only one that might, not counting Back to School, because we agreed that that is not part of that album. Street Carp isn't really my favorite. That might be the one of that one I tune out. But like, yeah, this Hybrid Theory, I mentioned that I never came around to Runaway. I still think that song is really bad. I totally came around on that album in general, but I think that song in particular, I don't think I'll ever come around
I'm glad you came around on that album because it whips, and also because
it's so good.
It's like a what?
Oh, I said it's so good.
I do love Runaway, but I grew up with it, so I don't see
Yeah. I think I said on that episode that if I had listened to it, like, when I was growing up more, I think I would have actually liked it. But it's just, I think, yeah, like, being 22 years old and being like, I want to run away and never say goodbye. I'm just like, run away from what? Like, I live alone. Like,
meanwhile, I was like 9 and actually packing Runaway bags as if I could get anywhere.
Right.
Did you ever do that, by the way?
Yeah, I remember one time, because I didn't have anywhere to go because I didn't have any friends at the time, but I remember one time I like wanted to like make my, because I think I was like 13 at the time or something, and I wanted to make my parents like think that I guess it was actually just my mom. I wanted to make my mom think that I like had actually run away. So I hid myself completely in my closet. Like I like, because my closet was always a mess. So like it was always clothes on the floor. So I just like pulled clothes over myself and I just like laid like under all these clothes for like 4 hours. And then I like came and then I like got out and I was just like, I went up to my mom and I was like, see how upset you would have been. And she was just like, fuck you. And like, that was the closest I ever got because I never really had anywhere that I could go. I mean, me and my sister moved out when I was either 16 or 17, but like, that's it. Wow. Like we didn't like run away, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I thought about trying to get emancipated when I was like 16, but I don't know. I have a very interesting dynamic with my mom. I feel like everybody sees my mom and me as like the Gilmore Girls now, which totally are now, but
no, I'm the exact same way because me and my mom used to like rear heads all the time because like it was this weird dynamic where neither my mom or I like arguing with people. Uh-huh. So it would always like get worse because we wouldn't argue with each other forever. And then when like one of us finally blows up, it would be like insane. But like now that I like don't like, now that I don't live with her or anything, it's like you said, like we are like the Gilmore Girls. Like she's like coming to visit in a week. And like our whole plan is just to get a bottle of tequila, a bottle of triple sec and margarita mix and some tacos and just like have like a girls' night. That
sounds so good.
I know.
I want to have a girls' night pretty much every night, so.
That sounds nice.
And I'm like, I don't know. It's weird because, like, American culture is very, like, at a certain age, you're not supposed to live with your parents anymore, but I'm
American, so.
I mean, I am, but, like, my culture isn't American, so I'm like, we live with our families forever. That's what everybody else in the world does. Like,
honestly, like, I love alone, but like I definitely acknowledge that like that probably comes from like some sort of like deep-seated thing where like in American culture you are kind of like taught to dislike your family in a weird way and to want to be away from them.
It's very just like which the, is like the independence kind of individuality mindset, I think, of
that's very much what it is, because like the rest, like there's so many other cultures that are focused on like community, and so obviously like living with your family is like an important part of that.
But, and I mean, it's not like I have a choice. So if I had a choice, if I had a choice, I think I would still try to be living with my mom or living with my family. So I know that it is a personal preference for me. But yeah, we have like I said, we have a girls' night like every night. This is a girl's house.
Sounds right. I, you know, I live alone, but I can't exactly call it a girl's house because I think Elliot really runs it.
No. I love that.
I think he's in charge, to be honest.
I do love that that in freaking 2000 Kitty was using King an ironic.
No. Am I not good enough for you, King?
Like they're so ahead of the curve.
So ahead of their time. I remember when people started really saying that, and like I said, like I've been like listening to this album, like there's been like times where I've dropped off of it and like not listened to it for, you know, like 4 or 5 months or something, but it's like never really like exited my rotation. And I remember when people started saying King more and stuff, and I heard it more, and I was just like, huh, like that was always like a moment that I thought was like kind of like weird on the album, and then like it just became something that was like said all the time, and so I was like, huh, like interesting.
We love teenage girls who are ahead of the curb.
They really were.
That they were living in 2020.
It's so cool. If this album came out right now, I honestly think it would kill.
I do too. I was thinking that. I think it would do really well.
Because like my friend was showing me this artist Poppy.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if you've listened to them at all.
No, but I do know who you're talking about.
So I had heard of them, and I think I had heard like maybe one song in passing, but like their first two albums were like bubblegum pop kind of stuff, which I have no problem with, but you know, it's not really the genre of music I listen to. But apparently like recently they've basically been making new metal.
Yeah, I'm looking at their Spotify right now, and it's like an incredible change between
like looking at the
albums, and then all of a sudden it's like a girl
goth, like, yeah, like, and but yeah, my friend, she was showing me Poppy, and I like went on Poppy's Wikipedia page, and like it says nu metal is one of the genres, and I was like, this shit is finally coming back, and it's about goddamn time. Mm-hmm. And like it made me think, because like apparently a lot of people like this new Poppy stuff, because I had never listened to it, but then my friend, she showed it to me, and then I showed it to a couple of my friends, and they were like, all like, oh yeah, like I love this, like you haven't heard this? And I was like, no, like I know. And so apparently it's like a big thing, so I was thinking about it. Yeah, I feel like this album would fucking kill if it came out right now.
I mean,
now.
They look cool as hell. I mean, Dolls Kills Wishes.
Honest. Yeah, fucking creepy Yeha Wishes.
I feel called out.
I like creepy Yeha.
Like, I feel
stuff.
Called out. I feel called out. But they really do, like they truly do. Okay, Brackish Sucks. Do you think I'm a whore? Best songs. We're doing Disturbed next week.